your voice in the morning.
11 minutes after 7 a.m. this morning. If you've just joined us, welcome into it. Good to have you in our company. Now, we zone in to the topic that we've been speaking about. I see lots of your messages coming through as well in terms of the Concord yesterday officially banning corporal punishment in the home. And it's now illegal. So if you've been one of those parents that would, you know, give their kids a little spanking or smack here and there, it's now illegal to do so. And parents no longer have a defense if they're accused of assault or smacking or hitting their children at home. Now, the Constitutional Court has ruled that the common law defense of reasonable and moderate parental chastisement of children is now unconstitutional. The court upheld the South Gauteng High Court's 2017 ruling against corporal punishment in the home. And if you recall, in the case of a father, a devout Muslim, he'd beaten his 13-year-old son severely because he found pornography on his iPad and had argued that he was entitled to do so because he was chastising his son as per his religious beliefs. Now, an organization called Freedom of Religion South Africa turned to the highest court in the land to appeal the 2017 ruling, and for a director, Michael Swain, chats to us now. Michael, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, and good morning to your listeners.
Now, of course, you know, we've basically seen some mixed reaction on social media. Firstly, what is your reaction to the ruling?
I think it's a very disappointing ruling because, as you pointed out, it isn't just illegal. It makes a criminal offence to, in any way, shape, or form, any form of physical correction by a parent to a child. Now, we're not talking about beating your child here, like, you know, hurting him or injuring him. That's always been illegal. But this defense of moderate and reasonable chastisement, which has now been declared to be unconstitutional, has always protected parents from a charge of criminal assault. And now, for the lightest slap on the wrist or a flick or whatever it may be, a parent can potentially, and in all certainty at some point, will be charged with the crime of assault, and if convicted, even if they don't go to jail for it, they will have a lifetime criminal record. So many loving parents, who, particularly faith-based parents, who may feel that in terms of their faith they have some form of responsibility to physically correct their children, are now being effectively criminalized. And that has massive implications for society, not least of which, in many instances, if you have a criminal record, you will not be able to continue with your job. If you're a teacher, for example, it's going to always affect any future employment application. It will affect visa applications if you travel. It is really a societal upheaval.
So, Michael, would you then say that perhaps is your belief that parents should have a right to decide for themselves what is in the best interest of their children?
That has always been the case in law. It is certainly the case in international law. And one of the very concerning aspects of this case is that effectively now the state is telling you how to parent your child. And I think it's long been accepted that the state makes a very poor parent. They don't obviously know your children. But this is now a blanket ban. And where it's been applied in other countries, for example, New Zealand, 10 years ago, passed a very similar law, the implications and the actual results in the society have been very, very disastrous. Every form of negative indicator, whether it's child abuse, child neglect, sexual abuse of children, parents feeling less competent with their children, 30% of children, parents reported, have threatened to report their parents. So it alters the whole balance of power in that sense in the home. And it's just been non-stop negative wherever it's been applied. So we think this is a very, very disappointing decision.
Now, of course, you know, we see this term reasonable and moderate chastisement. What exactly is its definition?
It's never had an official legal definition. It's always been a question of what is moderate and reasonable. Obviously, if you hit your child with a shambok or a pipe or you punch them, that's never been the case. And again, one of the things which we argued in our case was that in a matter which affects every single South African, a parent or child for that matter, but at some point they will become parents too, this should be surely something which Parliament, as a democratically elected body, obviously under the Constitution, should decide. side, and then there could be due process and arguments either side, because there's no social indicators that are conclusive that it's, for example, bad for your children and not in their best interests to receive some form of correction. But the courts didn't do that. They basically have made the law. So at this point, the matter is in South African law, now settled, barring a change in our constitution. A parliament could not now pass a law to reverse that because the Constitutional Court, which is the apex court, the highest court, has actually made this decision.
Now, if we look at the day and age we're living in, if we look at South Africa and our current climate, you know, our children are being exposed to a constant form or, you know, of violence, in the sense that they're seeing it at schools, they're seeing it on the news, in our societies, in our communities. Do you still then believe that corporal punishment is a good form of discipline? How does one even know what are the reasonable bounds for chastisement?
Well, this again was something which we were advocating that Parliament should decide. So in other countries, for example, they have gone for what's called the calibrated approach, which is typically any form of discipline of a child should be with an open hand. It should not leave a mark. It should certainly not cause them any physical injury. In other words, you actually define in law by Parliament what are these boundaries. And at that point, obviously, if you overstep the mark, then it's clear that you've done so. So, yes, we advocated keep this defense for loving parents, because loving parents do not beat up or injure or seriously hurt their children in disciplining them. And if they do, it's always, let me say, it has always been a criminal offense. There has been no defense. But if it's defined properly by Parliament, then it can work, does work, and in many countries that's the approach that they've taken.
Michael, if we then bring religion, you know, into the conversation, you know, do you think this judgment sort of poses a religious dilemma for parents who feel strongly that they are compelled by their religion to enforce what we say is reasonable and moderate chastisement?
Well, absolutely it does. And that is also a very concerning thing, because here what we're seeing is that if you are a parent who, from a religious belief point of view, believes that your faith perhaps even instructs you to use some form of mild corrective physical discipline as part of your parenting of your children, to bring them up, to really teach them the difference between right and wrong in the loving context of a home. Frankly, they're not going to learn it in a loving way. If they don't learn it in the home, they're not going to learn it in a loving, grace-filled way in society. Then that is the very thing which is now a great conflict, because who do you obey? Do you obey your conscience before God, to whom you ultimately believe you will give an account, or do you obey the law of the land? And that has always been why religious freedom has been something which is absolutely core to a democracy and is definitely something which should be vigorously defended. And that's why, of course, we went to court in this matter, among other things, was because of that very reason. It's terrible if parents now face a conflict between their faith and their conscience and obeying the law of the land. You will turn very good, very honorable parents into potential criminals, and in fact real criminals in the event that they're convicted, which they now could well be.
Michael, you just mentioned, you know, the law of the land, so to speak, and, you know, it just makes me think to the 2015 ruling with regards to, you know, that children 3 years old and under need to be fastened into car seats, booster seats, whilst they are being transported in any mode of transport, that is. But, you know, a question mark had come over that with regards to it was a very loosely implemented sort of law. How do we ensure, or how do we know that this particular law that has come into effect is going to be effectively implemented?
Well, obviously we don't. And I believe time will tell. But the problem is now that because it now is the law, if as a parent you are seen, for example, to be in any way physically correcting your child, maybe your child reports you, which happens, by the way, often internationally, whether a neighbor reports you, which happens often internationally, whether maybe in some form of custody dispute, if there's a divorce going on, parents accuse each other of that sort of thing to gain some advantage in a divorce proceeding. These are things which now can and almost certainly will happen, even if it's not widely applied. And bear in mind, if you are convicted, or perhaps when you are convicted, you have a lifetime criminal record, which will be massively disadvantageous to you as a parent and effectively to your family, because the knock-on implications of that will affect the family. And the real question is, and the car seat is quite a good analogy, is this in the best interest of the child? The strapping in of the car seat was because that was considered to be in the best interest of an infant to be secured in the car. Is this ruling in the best interest of the child? We would argue not, but the Constitutional Court has now decided this matter.
All right. Michael, thanks so much for that. I'm going to ask you to hold the line. I also understand that we have Wessel van der Berg from Sonke Gender Justice that is also on the line. It's just gone 7:22. We are going to be heading out for traffic as well as an ad break. When we get back, we continue the conversation.
On 91.3 FM, your voice in the morning.
26 minutes after 7 a.m. this morning, and we have been speaking with regards to the Concord banning corporal punishment in the home. Lots of interaction coming through on the WhatsApp line. We certainly will be getting to all of your messages. Just before the ad break, we had spoken to 4SA Executive Director Michael Swain, who was sharing with us his thoughts on the Concord banning. Of course, online we also have Wessel van der Berg, Sonke Gender Justice Researcher. Wessel, good morning. Thanks for joining in the conversation.
Good morning, Zabira. It's great to be on the show. Thank you for inviting us.
Only a pleasure. Now, of course, certainly an important judgment for your organization in light of the increasing levels of violence in our country. What's your take on the banning of corporal punishment in the home by the Concord?
Thank you, Zabira. You know, we are thrilled. We are really happy, not only because this is a victory for parents and for children across South Africa towards reducing violence and making children safer and parents more equipped to deal with their children. It was a real step forward for some of the major mainstream religious groupings in South Africa. When we went to the Concord in 2018, our position was endorsed by the South African Council of Churches, by the Methodist Church, by the Lutheran Church, by the Catholic Bishops' Council, and by Mulana Ibrahim Bam, Jalima Ietal.
Yes.
So that was really supportive of our position. And I think it was affirmed by the fact that, you know, Chief Justice Mokgweng is a religious man, and he is a traditional man. And he confirmed in his judgment quite clearly the biblical, in the Christian faith, exhortation to protect children. He also, of course, referred to the famous verses that instruct parents to use physical discipline, but he also landed at the same conclusion that we did, that the best way to parent children is without the use of any violence, no matter how light.
Now, one of the many comments we're seeing on social media and online is that government is trying to control the way in which people parent. Now, you know that parents should have the right to discipline their children in the way they deem or see fit.
You know, I do think that parents do need to have the freedom and the support to parent children in the way that they see fit. I am the parent of a 5-year-old girl and a 3-year-old boy, and I really experience the challenge of guiding young children who are exploring the world. But the argument that should allow for someone who is stronger than someone else to cause them pain, no matter how light, simply does not hold with our Constitution, as the judgment proved. So, you know, the similar argument has been used when domestic violence legislation had been established to protect women, that back in the day there used to be an argument that, well, a husband needs to be able to discipline his wife. Of course, children are minors, so they do need more guidance than the adults that women are. But in the terms of the use of violence, as Chief Justice Mokgweng said, bodily integrity supersedes the right to parent a child.
Now, there's a question on many people's mind in the sense that, okay, if this has been seen as a crime, how will corporal punishment then be monitored within the home?
You know, so the myth that's being put out there is that children will now report their parents in droves, and that parents will all be criminalized. I agree with Michael that, you know, that is clearly not in the best interest of the child. So a court, if it gets to court, will have to decide, you know, if the parent is consistently using violence, what is in the best interest of the child. And most likely it will be that the parent remains with the child, but gets some support in being able to better parent the child. Let me also just say that we now have the affirmation of the constitutional rights of the children. So that means that our current assault laws apply. We do not yet have the detailed support in the Children's Act. And that is something that is underway currently in Cabinet with the Third Amendment of the Children's Act. So the Third Amendment Bill, that will give us an opportunity to now actually put in place the steps. And what the current conception is based on the child protection policy framework that the Department of Social Development has developed is that the first intervention will not be a criminal justice system intervention. But it is more likely that if there is a report or there's sustained use of physical punishment, it's more likely that a child and youth care worker or a social auxiliary worker would step in to support the family. If that fails, that will then progress to a criminal level.
Okay, we are speaking with Wessel van der Berg, a Sonke gender justice researher. We also still do have online Michael Swain.
My time is limited. I do have another interview. I did not know this was going to take so long, so I've got another 5 minutes or so for you.
All right, gentlemen, we are going to take our headlines very quickly at the bottom of the hour. We continue the conversation when we return. Thank you, Michael Swain, 4SA Executive Director, as well as Wessel van der Berg, Sonke gender justice researcher. I do understand Michael has to run for another interview. Perhaps, Michael, we can get some we could get a closing comment from yourself this morning.
Yes, thank you. I think it's important to bear in mind that regardless of what the Sonke Gender Justice spokesperson has said, the Constitutional Court has said that it is a crime. Any form of physical correction of a child amounts to violence within the Constitution and therefore is prohibited. And even although they recommended a deep approach, which in other words isn't a major intervention, perhaps a criminal jail sentence, it will be a criminal record. And the criminal record is the most chilling part of it, because that is fundamentally going to impact negatively on the family and on the child, even the whole fabric of society. So I think we must not be naive and just think that this thing somehow is not going to go. It's not going to be a problem. It's going to be a major societal problem for South Africa going forward.
Michael, now it is what it is. Do you think that this judgment now pushes us to shift from the old school of thought that physical punishment is the answer? Perhaps is it about getting the child to understand, to develop more self-discipline and insight, but also for parents to engage and change their sort of methods and ways?
Well, of course it is, and that has been a trend, and a very positive trend. So positive parenting, in other words, alternative forms of disciplining your child, has never been in the question here, and it is something which should be encouraged. What's happened now is that a historical parental tool, so to speak, has been taken away, and we are now left without that. So in other words, there are less tools in the parental toolkit, not more. And that I think is something which is going to be very problematic going forward, particularly because I don't think that society is going to suddenly overnight change its parenting habits, and that does mean that there will be people in courts charged with assault, convicted, and being given criminal records.
Just on a parting note, finally, you know, addressing parents directly, what exactly would you say to them, Michael?
Well, I would say to them, I'm very sorry. I mean, the state has decided that they're a better parent than you are. And you must now decide what you do with that.
All right. Well, Michael Swain, we thank you for your time as well as your insight on the matter. Go well.
Thank you.
And that was 4SA Director Michael Swain speaking to us in light of the Concord banning corporal punishment in the home. We also had online Sonke Gender Justice Researcher Wessel van der Berg. Unfortunately, he had to leave us there due to time constraints. It's 7:36 this morning. We're also going to be getting the Islamic perspective on the matter, so to speak, and finding out from an educational psychologist as well in terms of, you know, how does this impact then the family structure, perhaps? How does it impact being a parent, being a Muslim parent, perhaps? But also, you know, one would see this as a lot of leniency in terms of the way in which, you know, we deal with our children. And, you know, are we going to be able to keep them in check? In a bit, we are going to be speaking to Dr. Idris Khamisa. He is an educational psychologist as well as a motivational speaker. And he will be telling us a bit more in regards to this. And I see the messages coming through this morning. If I start with one, I'm going to have to get through the other 100 that have come through. So perhaps after 8, we can go through your messages and, you know, hear from you and what you think on this decision. But joining us online this morning, you know, is Dr. Idris Khamisa, educational psychologist and motivational speaker. Dr. Idris Khamisa, assalamu alaikum, good morning, thanks for joining us.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's always a pleasure to join with the BOC, very nostalgic, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Now, of course, you know, having heard about the judgment that came through yesterday, the Concord banning corporal punishment in the home, I think for parents in general, you know, a lot of question marks. But for Muslim parents as well, you know, a lot of questions in the sense of, is the use of corporal punishment on children permissible in Islam? What are the rights of us as parents, as well as children being Muslim as well? And certainly, you know, for all us parents, parenting in today's modern world is very challenging. So as a start, you know, what are your comments and thoughts on the Concord's judgment, Dr. Idris Khamisa?
You know what, I don't have an issue, seriously, I don't have an issue. There's a big difference between corporal punishment and discipline. Discipline changes behavior, corporal punishment suppresses behavior. And the thing is, you know what, if you look at the whole issue of corporal punishment, the long-term effect it has, whilst it might bring about compliance on the part of a child, they begin, you know, to manipulate others, manipulate situation, they become brutalized, and they would continue to do things often that are wrong, and if they can get away with it. And I think what's important is this, we often speak about discipline with love. When you remember, discipline, punishment are not the same thing, and we need to understand that. We need to understand that these are fundamental differences. But what I'm not suggesting, that we must become permissive, because a parent that is permissive has the same effect as a person that he has a harsh punishment. What we need to do is to teach our kids, there has to be positive consequences for good behavior and negative consequences for negative behavior. And I'll share with you, you know, as you go along, the Islamic perspective about discipline, inshallah.
So, of course, let's ask, does Islam allow reasonable chastisement for children?
You see, remember, the only time that I came across when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said was to this effect, that you need to introduce salah at the age of 7. If they don't read at the age of 10, you can beat them. But there are a few assumptions here. The assumption, the one assumption is that you yourself is reading salah. It takes 7 to 10 is 3 years. Islam is about gradualism. Children mimic adult behavior. When they see parents are doing those things, reading Salah and everything else, they too would also read Salah. So it's that aspect. And what is important is this, that in the end, if you are going to use corporal punishment, for example, so that they read Salah, then you're not going to introduce to them the love for the Salah, that we're doing it for the sake of doing it. Mm-hmm. The psychological impact is very, very great. But there are ways and means of, you know, teaching people consequences. I'm not saying at all that you need to overindulge them, that you do not chastise them, that you do not withdraw certain privileges. And you find that when kids grow up in a home where they are brutalized, it has a profound impact on their self-esteem, their emotional intelligence, and the way they see the others. And this, the whole thing is this, you see, punishment itself cannot act as a deterrent if, for example, in a particular home where love is not shown, where there are no consequences of behavior except you're punishing a child, you're not really teaching a child what was wrong and what they need to do differently. Because remember, in the end, the whole purpose of discipline is to teach our children self-control, self-discipline, so they need to understand how they need to curb their urges and to make sure that they are doing the right thing.
We have about 30 seconds to go. Do you think this judgment is important for parents to understand positive parenting and to find alternative discipline methods, perhaps?
Yes, I think it's very, very important, and it's very, very critical that parents need to understand that. They need to begin to talk to each other, because one of the main reasons, one of the four reasons why couples separate when the mother and father have a different philosophy how to bring up a child. We need to restart the conversation. We need to be a model for our kids' behavior. Inshallah, if you do that, really, I mean, the scope is very, very wide. I mean, this erroneous notion, oh, when I was a kid, I got a lot of hype, therefore I'm a good person. You grew up at a different time, and Ali also reminded us about that. You know?
All right. And finally, we do understand you're working hard behind the scenes on your upcoming event. Perhaps tell us a bit more. We have about 20 seconds to go.
Oh, 20 seconds is too short. But anyway, we've got the Soul Seekers program, inshallah, on the 13th of October in Cape Town. And it's an opportunity for people looking for spouses in a halal way. They need, you know, to register www.soulseekers.co. www.soulseekers.co, or they could phone me at 082-8251-991. It's a really successful program, and we pray and hope that those that are in need of spouses, let us facilitate the process for you, and then you'll say, I like it.
Certainly. Dr. Idris Khamisa, as always, a pleasure chatting to you. Thank you for your insight this morning. Salaam rahmatullah. And that was Dr. Idris Khamisa, educational psychologist and motivational speaker there, speaking to us in terms of the Islamic perspective in regard to our topic.